Well, g'day folks, and welcome back to Flying Down Under. I'm Steve.
And I'm Grant.
Back with another snapshot of the way things work down here in aviation in the Great Southern Land. And Grant, once again, we've been out talking to some wonderful warbird pilots, this time at the Royal Australian Air Force's 90th anniversary recently at Point Cook.
That's right. We caught up with Doug Hamilton, who's based at Albury, just about halfway between Melbourne and Sydney. And he flies warbirds for the Temora Aviation Museum.
Yep. Now, the Temora Aviation Museum has probably got one of the finest collections of preserved warbirds aircraft in this country, and in fact Grant and I just last weekend were fortunate enough to be up there. The Temora Aviation Museum it's actually in quite a remote town, if you want to look at it that way. It's about 260 miles west of Sydney and about 300 miles north of Melbourne, so it's quite a drive. But boy, they have some great sponsorship up there, which allows them to preserve some wonderful aircraft. And in fact, Grant, they've got two Spitfires, a Mark 8 and a Mark 16.
That's correct, and the best thing is that they keep those aircraft and all the ones in their collection flying. All the aircraft they have represent aircraft that have flown in service to Australia. And Temora was selected as a location because it's historical, it's where a lot of training went on during World War II for the RAAF, and B, the Temora Council really understand that airports and aircraft bring in a lot of money, so it was already starting to thrive as a bit of an air park, and then the museum settled in there and it's just been growing ever since. Temora, the town, understands that aviation brings in big money for them.
Yep, and it's a remarkably refreshing attitude. It's something we don't see a lot of when it comes to aviation in this country these days. Well, on the day we caught up with Doug, he was flying the Spitfire Mark 8. Here's what he had to say about that.
Doug Hamilton, welcome to Plane Crazy Down Under. How are you going, mate?
Going well.
Excellent. Now, Doug, we're standing here next to the Spitfire. You got to fly that today?
I did. I was lucky. I drew the Spit today. That was good.
Cool. Otherwise, you were flying the Hudson the last few days.
Yeah, been flying the Hudson, the Spit. Today, it's pretty tough business, isn't it?
It's a hard life. So you're doing a lot of flying for Temora these days?
Yeah, I am, and thoroughly enjoying that. It's pretty special.
Your other aircraft that I've seen you with is you've got a Harvard and you've got a Lockheed 12.
That's correct, yeah. We had them at Avalon a few weeks ago. Yeah. So I get to play with lots of good things.
So how long have you been flying the Spitfire?
Probably about 4 years on and off. Whenever they got the second Spitfire at Temora, they got me up to speed in a Spit.
Because this is the Mark 8 and the other one's a Mark 16?
Mark 16, correct, okay. Yeah.
And how do they handle?
Well, they're like a Spitfire, very, very awkwardly on the ground, but just the most gorgeous thing when you get it airborne. You point it where you want it to go and it just does it for you.
Okay. Much of a difference between the 8 and the 16?
Not a lot, no. No, okay. Very similar. In fact, you know, about the only major difference is the tail wheel doesn't go up on the 16.
Okay.
Tell us about some of the challenges in learning to fly a classic aircraft like this, was obviously such high performance.
Yeah, that's I'd flown T-28s and Harvards and Wirraways and things like that. And to get into the Spitfire's quite daunting. I mean, there's the history of it, the rarity of it, the value of it in dollar terms and historically. I still remember opening the throttle gently for the first time and, it just launches like nothing I'd flown before at that stage.
How many inches of manifold pressure do you put into it when you open it up? We hear it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, look, we being English, it runs on PSI boost. On takeoff, you very gently, you certainly don't get it in too quickly, but we run up to about plus 12 boost, which I think, don't quote me, but it's around 60 inches.
60 inches. A bit more than a Cessna 182, for instance.
Yeah, but you can't bring that in too quickly, or you just can't control it with rudder, and you've got right aileron in, but until you've got some forward motion, that's having no effect, other than making you feel like you're trying to do something about the torque.
Yeah, so it'd be a significant torque effect to have to counter.
Oh, very much so, yeah. That's why you bring the power in very, very gently. And once you start getting airspeed, you can get into the power a bit more, and once it starts tiptoeing, you just give this another squeeze of power and it's flying.
Now, you've also flown the Mustang?
Haven't flown a Mustang. Okay. I fly one from the back seat airborne, but flown the P-40 a fair bit. It's a delightful aeroplane to fly. It's much easier to operate on and off the ground.
Wider track, hasn't it?
A wider track, and it's just more stable.
Okay.
But lovely aeroplane to fly as well.
Yeah, Alan Arthur was telling me ages back when we were in Albury that time. He was saying that it was a gentleman's aircraft. He reckoned it should be the other way around. You should learn on the P-40 and to work up to the Harvard.
That's right. But still, the P-40, if you got into the power too quickly, it'd bring you unstuck. But yeah, it's easier to put on and off. off the ground in the spit.
The other aircraft here is the Hudson. That's the other one you've been flying with tomorrow. How do you find that? It's a big twin-engine bomber transport. What's like to fly?
It's actually a gorgeous old aeroplane to fly. I've done a fair bit of time in it now. It's the aeroplane of tomorrow that the tow bars go in, and you know, whenever anything else goes somewhere, the Hudson goes as ground support.
That's nice.
So I've become very comfortable in the Hudson, and it is truly a lovely aeroplane, to fly. And it's not too bad to put on and off the ground. It's got a very weird braking system, no tow brakes, and a big handle you pull out. Other than that, it's quite conventional and just a sweet aeroplane.
Is that similar to the 12?
No, the 12's got tow brakes.
Okay.
But other than that, other than the brakes, a very similar aeroplane to fly. If you were working someone up for the Hudson now, we'd build them up in my 12 and then just convert into that.
I was helping out with Laurie's Lockheed 10 ages ago when he was putting that one together, the N30s. And the guys were at Bankstown, and there was the air show there, and a Neptune was in, and I think there was a Hudson there. But they were basically, I remember the guys were showing me the inside of the wheel well of the 10 and the inside of the wheel well of the Neptune and the others. They all look the same, just bigger.
That's right, they're just scaled up versions.
Yeah.
Well, the 10 and the 12 are very similar aeroplanes.
12 looks a little more racy, a little narrower.
Yeah, it's a bit smaller aeroplane actually, even though it's a later one, a little bit quicker. It's a later model.
So it was the business jet of its time, wasn't it?
It was, all the flash blokes had them.
Yeah, very important question, Doug. You've got so many aircraft coming on this pilgrimage around Australia. How does the pecking order go for who flies what? We believe there was a bit of a drawing of straws or something today.
Oh, well, we toss a coin between Spitfires and Hudsons, but that's just an in-house thing. And as far as, launching times, they launch the fastest first, and that way we've not got aeroplanes overtaking all the way along, so... With these aeroplanes, we were pretty much first off the blocks each day.
Yeah, I noticed that. We were just driving in going, hey, I hope that we're here before it, and there you were.
That's right. Well, today was a pretty quick trip. It was only 50 or 60 miles, so that doesn't take long at 200 knots.
No, it doesn't. And how long to drive that? Yeah, I don't want to think about it.
Too long.
Okay, well, Dougie, thanks very much for coming on the show, and thanks for having us chat with us about these wonderful aircraft.
No problem. My pleasure.
So there we go, Grant. I tell you what, I can't help but be jealous of him, and I was quite surprised to find at the time that he hadn't actually had much stick time in the Mustang.
Well, he's certainly fixed that now. When we caught up with him at Easter, he told us that he has now been qualified to fly the Mustang, so he can now fly Spitfires, Harvards, Lockheed 12s, Mustangs, the Hudson, and many other aircraft.
Yeah, absolutely, and I tell you what, Grant, after our recent outing to tomorrow, I'm looking forward to getting up there several more times and getting a lot more interviews and content for this segment and for all the other segments that we do on other shows. Grant, I tell you what sort of attitudes do you reckon they'd be flying with those aircraft most of the time?
Oh, definitely unusual, mate, because down here in Australia, we're always flying inverted.